For the IDEA Data Center, I'm Amy Bitterman, and this is A Date with Data. Every month, I sit down with data quality influencers from around the country to share their stories about special education data and the work they do to improve outcomes for children with disabilities. Hello, I'm Amy Bitterman, and this is IDC's A Date with Data. On this episode, I have with me Christina Holloway, Special Education Monitoring Lead with the Illinois State Department of Education, and she's going to be describing Illinois' annual LEA determinations process. IDEA requires states to make determinations annually about the performance of each local education agency, or LEA, and Illinois has made some changes to their process over the last few years, and really excited to hear about those and what this process looks like in Illinois. So welcome, Christina. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Can we start out just saying a little bit about yourself, your role, how long you've been with the Illinois State Board of Education background, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So I was a special educator prior to coming to the State Board of Education. I did spend 20 years in the classroom, both at the elementary and at the high school level. And I made the leap to the State Board of Education in the summer of 2021. So I just recently celebrated my fourth year anniversary at the State Board of Education.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Since coming to the State Board of Education, I actually have worn many hats there. I started off as a principal consultant for specialized populations. And so my work there really was focused on students with specific learning disabilities, emotional disabilities, and autism. And so I oversaw multiple technical assistance projects that we funded through our State Board of Education with IDEA discretionary dollars and other state funds. Then I moved into the State Performance Plan Annual Performance Report Coordinator, where I, got a lot of background of the discussion we're going to have regarding LEA determinations today. Learning about it, I dove a lot into the data, which I found I'd love, and really wanted to figure out how that data related to supporting students with disabilities in our state and try to improve those outcomes for those students. Then my next role was to go into my current role, which is as the special education monitoring lead. And I feel like I kind of just stair-stepped up as I took my experience from the classroom to different levels and kind of carried that with me all along.
Yeah, it's great having that long history in the classroom and then bringing kind of that perspective to the state. I think that makes a big difference, probably.
Absolutely. It really does help reach the LEAs, I think, because I can speak on their level and I understand where they're coming from when they do discuss some of the struggles they may face or how to support, not only their educators, but also the students that they serve as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's start out by talking about how you were making LEA determinations in the past and why you decided to make some changes to your process.
Sure. So some of the changes did take place prior to my arrival. They actually took place prior to 2020. And back in before 2020, ISBE really focused on those compliance indicators such as 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. We included our single audit findings and timely correction of noncompliance, of course, as those were requirements. If a district didn't meet the compliance requirements for those indicators, they would receive a score of 1 automatically for that indicator. But if they did meet the requirements for that at the state target or the compliance requirement, they would receive a 4. So there wasn't really much separation between the scores. It was either automatic 1 or an automatic 4.
Yeah.
Single audit findings were an exception to those, though, because those were a sliding scale, and it was really related to the type of finding and how long the finding may have been going on. Was it something that was systemic that had happened previously? Then LEAs would receive an average score of their determination. So their average score was also a scale between a 1 and a 4 as opposed to a percentage score. So that is kind of how they were previously done.
And what made you all decide to make some changes
So right around that time, OSAP came out with their results-driven accountability system. We know it now as RDA. Mm-hmm. And so ISBE decided to kind of follow suit with that and worked with stakeholders to come up with our own results-driven accountability system to kind of align with our LEA determinations. So during that time, during those stakeholder meetings, we looked at all of the different results indicators as well and the state targets and kind of aligned it with the upcoming changes for the SPP APR, you know, the new cycle with that, and put it all together. And so through that feedback, ISBE did choose to move to more of a RDA approach. Mm-hmm. So focusing not just on that compliance, but also looking at the results pieces as well, so that we could, you know, kind of tie that together. Because as we know, compliance is great, but we have to also see how the students are progressing and what's going on to truly understand, you know, the real landscape of our state and where those needs need to be addressed.
Yes, absolutely. So that was about 2020?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. So once you had your stakeholders engaged and kind of doing your analyses to decide what you wanted the current process to look like, can you tell us what that does look like, what that process, you know, has been like since you made those changes? And if there are any things in particular that have really worked well in this newer process?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So our current process now is we do include results indicators, including indicators 1, 5A, and 6A in our LEA determinations. Of course, we continue to include the requirements from OSAP with the compliance indicators 4B, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Mm-hmm. We also, you know, have to incorporate that timely correction of noncompliance, our single audit findings, as well as that timely, reliable, and valid data component. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do mesh those together, and we typically send our LEA determinations out each September. And what's nice about sending them out in September, and we, you know, it is be throughout the years, we have toyed around and like kind of played around with those timelines of when do those go out. What's nice is that we start right at the beginning of the school year for everyone. And so we're getting, you know, we're working with the districts immediately so they can start implementing those things at the beginning of their school year and not have to do necessarily things over the summer. If we would do it in May, they would, you know, have people in and out during the summer and not really get to start that work at that time. Yeah. So we like being able to provide them that information right from the get-go so they can get going on any corrective action. And then they can also, you know, start working on any kind of improvement plans that they need to do to help with their data reliability and help, you know, improving their systems ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And each score, we did also change our score range. So currently each score is based off of 0 through 3 based on their performance. Mm-hmm. One thing that we noticed with that is we didn't want it to be an all or nothing because we do understand that LEAs, you know, their data can be in flux, you know, based on the students who come in and out, you know, with mobility throughout the state. So we wanted to give, you know, some LEAs that opportunity to not have to lose all of their points, especially if after a year of maybe having a decline, they did show improvement, even if they weren't meeting the state target. Mm-hmm. We wanted to recognize the improvement that they were showing. Yeah. So we did make that more of a sliding scale with the exception of our timely correction of noncompliance component. So it does make a little bit nicer and, you know, kind of also works, you know, for the LEA so that they can show even their school boards and parents that, hey, you know, we are making progress. I know we didn't get a 3, but it's okay. You know, we went, you know, our percentage did go up. Yeah. So, and they had that input too on what that looked like. So they have some ownership of what that process is too. Mm-hmm. So currently, LEAs who get an 80% or higher on their LEA determination, we consider those meet requirements. And unless they have any finding of noncompliance related to the compliance indicators, they have, you know, a multitude of universal supports that they can have access to, but there are no required corrective actions for those LEAs. LEAs who score 75% but less than 80%, we would consider those needs assistance. If they obviously do that for more than 1 year, then they would be needs assistance 2 or more years, and they would have corrective action that they would need to complete throughout the year, mm-hmm. aligned to what the regulations would require them to do. They do need to utilize technical assistance. They need mm-hmm. to come up with a corrective action plan for improvement. Of course, if they have any findings on noncompliance related to the compliance indicators, they would have corrective action related to those as well. And then any LEA that would score less than 75%, we would consider need intervention. We recently just shifted from to align more with the regulations, and a 1 year need intervention, you know, they only get below 75% for 1 year. We let them have just universal support. Of course, if they have findings of noncompliance, as with the others mm-hmm. related to those compliance indicators, everyone would have corrective action mm-hmm. like the others as well. But once they hit that for 2 years, we have aligned that with our NA2 process so that they also have a warning system. So they align together. And then once they hit that 3 years, then we are perfectly aligned with what the regulations require. They are going to have more intensive supports, regular meetings with a principal consultant, technical assistance requirements, and corrective action requirements as well mm-hmm. to help them improve so that we can try to avoid that need substantial intervention level. Yeah. We've also, with this shift, noticed that some may go from that NA2 level, which we would consider a tier 2, to needs intervention for 1 year. If that happens or we see any decrease, we are going to still require the district to complete corrective action steps and improvement planning because they're not improving their score. Mm-hmm. So we will be working with them to try to get that score up so that in the future that we don't have to get to a significantly more intensive level, because to us, that's going to signify they need more support. So what else can we do for the LEA? So that is something that will happen this year too.
Are there particular areas that you feel like have worked really well in this process that you've been using now for a few years? Anything you've heard from, you know, feedback from districts in terms of how they feel about the process, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think moving from that needs intervention 1 year and having districts be required to do extremely intensive, you know, actions mm-hmm. was helpful last year. I think we have such a diverse population in Illinois. We serve districts that, you know, are rather large. We have, mm-hmm. you know, extremely large districts, especially in the northern part of our state, down to the southern part of our state, and even in some of the western eastern regions where we may only have an LEA that has 100 students in wow. it. And so utilizing the way we do our points can sometimes, like, I don't know, almost not be a disadvantage, but it can, you know, cause a smaller LEA to have mm-hmm. less points available to them mm-hmm. and also more of an impact to their score, because yep. there will be certain things that do not impact them. You know, we obviously have LEAs that are only high school. We have LEAs mm-hmm. that are only going to be elementary. So some of those mm-hmm. indicators that we look at, even for compliance, don't apply to them. Mm-hmm. So by kind of giving them that break, and it's nice that that is, you know, allowable, allows them to kind of, oh, wait, we, you know, like look at their data and go, oh, we have to do to improve it, you know, because they're starting with a smaller population already. So even on those results indicators like 5A, 6A, their percentage might just naturally be less because of they're working with a less number of students. So, you know, one or two students impacts them a right. little bit more than it does a large LEA.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that really kind of gave them a little bit of a breath, so to mm-hmm. speak. So they weren't like, oh gosh, you know, we've only done this for 1 year. This only happened once.
Right.
And more looking at more systemic, not just a one time, like, mm-hmm. okay, is this a systemic issue? Is this continuing? And I think through our process, we just continue to analyze it year after year to see how do we improve it? What does the data tell us? Who is needing the most support, and then kind of building that. So ultimately, we do identify the districts who do need the most support within our state and then provide it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any areas that you feel like you'd like to improve, make changes to?
So one of the, and I forgot to mention this, I apologize, but one of the other things that we did add last year, and I think that this was also really great for our LEAs, and we're getting ready to start this again, is that we have implemented a preview window for the LEAs. So they are able to go into one of our data systems. We call it the iStar Plus system. It's where all of the IEP information is held. It's not the actual IEPs themselves, but the student information and regarding their EE codes, their placements, you know, like their initial evaluations, transition plans, et cetera, we have in that system. And so we do house, you know, an LEA determination window for them. And so they can go into that system about a week prior to the actual issuance of the LEA determination and look at their data ahead of time. And what's nice about that is they can identify if something doesn't look right, they can bring it to our attention, or they can kind of get a preview and go, okay, we know what's coming. So they're not maybe blindsided per se. And we used to have districts that would try to do an appeal about their data and because they would think that we have some secret data that's
they
not
don't
theirs.
But know it, about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not theirs, but it is theirs. So it gives them that opportunity to kind of look at it. So with this process now, we have actually taken away the appeal process. We're giving them their data to preview ahead of time to identify if they notice anything. And last year, we did get a lot of feedback, which was nice. And it actually ended up being an error on our side. We recognized, oh, something didn't look right. And so we were able then to troubleshoot on our side. And it, you know, errors happen on both sides. And so that was a really nice way to know that they were looking at it. They were intrigued by the information and then they could report back to us. So hopefully, you know, that doesn't happen this year. So far, everything looks really, really good. And we're about ready to open up that window. Actually, I think we're scheduled for 10 days and we're going to get that opened back up for them. So they'll be able to go in and see that data ahead of time.
Yeah, that's really cool. I don't know that I've heard about other states doing that. That's a really interesting and unique, you know, opportunity to give districts.
But yeah, it's not it's not like a pre-finding correction or anything like that. There's nothing allowed there. It just more is like, hey, let's do that. And we really base that off of how we provide our school district designations for ESSA. And so they have a similar process that they use, and they can, the districts can go in and the different schools can go in and see what that designation is going to be and what their data looks like. So we really mirrored it off of a system that was existing within another department in our accountability department. So it's kind of nice to have a similar kind of system.
Yep, the consistency, and especially, you know, with the districts, if they're also using, you know, for ESSA, having the same kind of process in place that they're used to, that, putting that in place makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Yep.
Do you have an example you can talk about where you've used this process to really work with a district to help improve the quality of their data for students with disabilities?
Absolutely. I have several examples. You know, one of the reasons that we did want to adjust how we do the levels of support when it came to the determination was because when I first came into the role as SPP-APR coordinator, we did our LEA determinations. And I continually had phone calls from our smaller rural school districts saying, hey, we only have six kids exiting. So like for indicator, you know, like indicator one, their graduation rate, it was really impacting their graduation rate because they would have students that were going into transition programs, were not going to earn a regular diploma. And appropriately so, they were being appropriately placed and being provided the appropriate services through transition, which those students, you know, are allowed to receive. And it was really, really tanking their indicator one score. And then because they were so small, they may have only had, you know, they may have had less indicators than another district, you know, just because the nature of the type of district it was. And so I kind of took a deep dive into that and heard it, you know, from multiple school districts and kind of the same thing and thought, oh my gosh, you know, we really do need to look at this and we need to make sure that they understand how to get the data. What does that rate look like? And how we then, you know, pay attention to that when we align, you know, our systems as well and like the supports that are provided at each level of that LEA determination. So, you know, I took a deep dive with a lot of those districts, got into our systems. We analyzed that exit data and really kind of looked at those students. Sometimes we caught errors. with what was actually being coded. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. Yeah. And then they were able to learn more about the systems of where that data could be accessed from, mm-hmm. too, so that they could take it and kind of talk to their administrators in their building and their educators in the building so that they all had a better understanding of, wait a second, you know, are our systems really aligned properly? Are we getting the correct data entered and submitted where it needs to go? So that was really, really a good piece of utilizing the data that comes from this and kind of taking a deep dive. Yeah. And most recently, though, we've been working with our largest school district in our state, and they have sought out needing a lot of support when it comes to their data. Mm-hmm. We, you know, have worked really, really diligently to build a great partnership with them and to mm-hmm. open that communication to truly show growth and improvement. And so we recently went on site actually with some IDC staff mm-hmm. and with their support mm-hmm. To really dive into the indicators as a whole, but then specifically those indicators that are included in our LEA determinations process. And it was fascinating mm-hmm. because I think that sometimes there is a disconnect between the state, the districts, and then what goes on at the federal level too. What is required? Like, what's coming down on the state and what do we have to do as the SEA? And then what do we require the LEAs to do? You know, one of the presentations they did, of course, was Miguel's story. And mm-hmm. the indicators don't go in order in Miguel's story. No. And they kept saying, well, why wouldn't they be in that order? Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't they numbered, you know? And the way you go through Miguel's story, when you start off, you know, with that indicator, you know, 12 level or indicator, you know, 11 with the child find, like, why does it start where it starts? And so it was a really good conversation and kind to help open their eyes as to what is required from the SEA and then why the LEAs have to then submit that type of data. And it made by, you know, utilizing Miguel's story makes it more real. Mm-hmm. It puts it on a student. And so they're able to see it through students' eyes, and it is eye-opening for them. So that was really positive. And that was in the spring that we did that. We went on site. And since then, we have just continued to have those discussions of how we are going to look at that data, how we are going mm-hmm. to train more of their staff regarding the data, the why, the where it comes from, like, are there issues within their own data system that need to be corrected? So we've had some really good conversations to really break it down and to build better processes for the district itself, because being such a large district, it can be very disconnected, and it is difficult when you're managing that many schools mm-hmm. and you have all that data coming into a central place. So what we'd like to do in the future and then potentially use them as an example for other LEAs mm-hmm. is to have them go through that LEA data processes document to kind of build their data processes. We have done it at the state level. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful because we were able to connect all the pieces together mm-hmm. and understand how everybody's role kind of fits into that. So we know that that will be really instrumental in working with our largest LEA on mm-hmm. that, and then utilize that as an example for other LEAs to kind of learn from in the future too.
Yeah. That's great. And just using kind of the determinations process you've put in place as like that springboard to really be able to dig deeper and work very closely, you know, with your LEAs. The data process toolkit from IDC is a great way to, mm-hmm. you know, sit down with your districts and help them really document and like talk through in excruciating detail all of their processes and procedures. Mm-hmm. So having all that kind of all those pieces come together, I think, you know, really sounds like a great process.
Yeah. And I think it's important as we recognize the state of education, not only in our state, but, you know, across the nation, and the turnover is real, and we can't ignore that. And so having something in place for when that turnover happens mm-hmm. and building succession planning is just huge, because otherwise, when people leave, no one knows what happened. Mm-hmm. And so if you can document it, then at least somebody can pick it up and kind of learn from that. They may have a lot of questions, and it makes total sense to have that. Mm-hmm. But I just think we're really wanting to help our LEAs understand the importance of that, even in the busy day-to-day, that this is the foundation and this is what's important, because you have to use that data to really identify where are the greatest needs and how are you going to support the students that you serve.
Yes, absolutely. So other, you mentioned trying to model kind of the process you've been doing with one of your districts in the future with other districts. Are there other plans you have or other things related to determinations you're thinking about doing in the future?
Yeah, we are getting ready to roll out, it has taken a Power BI dashboard to that iStar Plus system that I mentioned before. And that Power BI system has been quite an undertaking, honestly. And I'm really excited about finally getting that rolled out for the LEAs to be able to access their data, analyze their data. It's not just going to be the indicators that we utilize for LEA determinations. It will actually include all of them, 1 through 14. For them. And it can give them trend data as well over a 3-year span. So they can look at it, there's visuals with it, and really see what's going on with that data from year to year. And so I'm really excited that they're going to have that. I can't wait for that to be put in place. We are in the final stages of that. So that's exciting. Great. And I think that'll spurn a lot of conversations. So I think when they see that, we'll probably get districts reaching out and want to know more and want to dive in of where it came from, but it gives them, it just puts that data at their fingertips. It's a little hard, I would say, currently for them to pull it all together. So having it all in one place is going to make it a lot nicer for them. They can just go in one spot and just look and kind of analyze it from there. And so, you know, as we build that too, we may end up, you know, looking at the supports that we do at the tiered level, you know, tier two, tier three, you know, do we implement the LEA data processes document as a requirement in one of those levels of support too, just because if they're having continual issues, you know, it's not just a one-off, maybe they need to look at that and really build that in. And so that would be a partnership that we could build with the LEAs too, and really look at their data and figure out where are the questions, where's the support needed, but utilizing our largest district potentially as a partner with them as well, where they could ask them questions too about how they did it. And so that's kind of been a thought of moving forward about what we want to do. You know, we look at the data every year. We make sure that everybody is completing things for their data, and if they're not, reaching out to them, but just trying to really hone in on those identified needs and also utilizing the data to drive our technical assistance projects. What do we need? What are we missing? So if the data is saying something and the districts are telling us as we're working with them through specific, you know, corrective action processes or, you know, other improvement processes, if we identify a need too, then we can look at adding that technical assistance support too. And we're like, this may need to be something that we have as a state level too for support.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that Power BI, those reports, not just for the individual districts, but yeah, like you're saying, at the state level and for TA, it's just a lot of rich, robust data. So a lot to come, I'm sure, with that once that is available.
Sure. Yeah. And also reminding ourselves too, you know, we want to accomplish everything, but taking it step by step, little bits at a time, and just, you can't hit everything at once, and reminding the districts of that too, reminding them, hey, you know, we understand, let's focus on one area and see what happens and have that good conversation of what that could look like moving forward. Because ultimately, you know, we know their data is our data and it's what we report too. So we really need to know that they are supported when we have to do our own, you know, submission for the SPP APR annually, because without them, we can't meet requirements like we've done for the last 6 years. So we know that importance, and we do share that with them because we think that's a big deal. We know that's a big deal. And so we have to do our due diligence to support them, or we're not going to be, you know, meeting requirements.
Successful. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. It all works together from the student all the way up to the state.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Christina, this was wonderful. You shared so many great tips and strategies, things I hadn't, you know, really heard about other states doing. So this will be great, I think, as folks out there are, I know LEA determinations with, you know, DMS going on is definitely a really high priority in many states. And I think
absolutely
they'll definitely pick up some ideas from what you all have shared and all the great work you're doing in Illinois. So thank you so much.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for allowing me to talk about our LAA determination process and highlight, you know, the things that we are doing in Illinois.
Yes, great work. Well, thank you again and look forward to knowing and hearing about what comes next for you all.
Sounds great. Thanks.
A Date with Data is produced by the IDEA Data Center, which is funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Have a story about special education data that you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at IDEAData@westat.com. To learn more about our center and our work, visit us at IDEAData.org.